Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And welcome to Friday afternoon here from the Allstate Showcase Studio along Michigan Avenue. It is, it could be better. It's not the best out here so far today, but hopefully better weather is coming. Andrea Haines is in the studio. She's the editor of Blue Sky Innovation that you read in the Chicago Tribune. So we'll talk to her about a couple of stories in just a sec. Also, late in the program, we're going to have three of the actors from Jesus Christ Superstar come by. Jesus was on with Bill and Wendy last week, or maybe earlier this week. We've got Caiaphas and Herod and Peter, so part of the prosecution team will be here. You're going to go see next week?
Going next week, yeah.
So the opera has sort of done this in the past few years, right, where they pick a very popular, I remember it was Oklahoma one year, and yeah. Sound of Music maybe last year, I don't remember for sure, to try to end their season on a sort of populist show. And this year, it's Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, and Chris Jones gave it 4 stars, and I'm telling you, he sold me on it. He was very impassioned in his review.
So. Getting ready to talk to these guys, I read Chris's review, and it was fascinating. And I want to ask them about it, too, about the idea that it's really not a play, it's an album. And this is done sort of as a rock album. And that's funny you bring that up, because that's my first question for him.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'll be listening in.
All right, any other questions you want me to ask for you?
That's a big one, right?
Okay, so let's go. I was talking to Bill and Wendy about this situation in Seattle where they're trying out, and it seems like they try a lot of innovative things in Seattle, and this is to help fund or to donate to homeless people. They're giving out beacons to them. There's this one company, Do It. Explain it for me.
Yeah, so there's a company called Samaritan. They've been operating for a couple years in Seattle, and they do exactly what you said. And I mean, I know you and I probably every day as we go to Starbucks, you know, I pass people that are asking for money, and I tell them with all honesty, I don't carry cash anymore. You know, I go to Starbucks, I scan in the app, I literally don't carry cash. So this is a way around that. So homeless people are wearing these beacons where you can, as the donor, you can like literally donate via your phone to the people that you're seeing.
And so when you're near them, it activates your app, and then it gives a little, it sort of gives their story, right?
Yeah, so they almost have a little bio in there, so you can see what the person's story is, like obviously how they got where they are, what their life has been like, and then you can decide.
And it's set to donate $10, which is a little more, I would imagine you could reduce it if you wanted to.
Yeah.
It's easier to give 35 cents from your pocket than $10, I suppose. But, and part of the requirement then for these people to get this app is that they have to go to a services place once a month, right, to sort of check in.
They do. And this is kind of maybe a pro-con, depending on how you look at it. But, so the homeless person then has to go to a place, which can be a positive in the sense that it means somebody's keeping an eye on them, right? Like they have some place where they can go to check in and somebody's keeping an eye on them. Now, some of the people that are homeless who would potentially be users of it have been a little bit worried, as we all are, about their privacy. And are they signing up for something where someone's going to be tracking them or keeping data on them?
And so they don't take the beacon.
Yes, some don't.
Now, here's the thing. This sounds like a great charitable venture. It's a for-profit company.
It is a for-profit company, and they take, I think it's up to 7% off the top. So they are taking some money out of it to do this.
So if you give $10, almost a buck of it is going to go to the company. Not quite a buck of it.
Yeah.
And so that's difficult when this guy then tries to partner with social services to get the beacons out.
Yeah, that's kind of been an interesting challenge, because with, you know, some of the nonprofits that they've tried to deal with have kind of been leery about certain things, including the idea of, does this taking really donations away from the nonprofits as well as from the person receiving it? So it sounds like they've worked through some issues. They are getting ready to expand. They're talking about New York. Chicago didn't come out of their mouth yet. But it sounds like they are looking to expand to some other cities.
It's called Samaritan. It's a Samaritan app. Pretty fascinating
kind of
idea, I think.
Interesting sociological thing,
it
right?
It is. I know. Yeah. I like it. Okay. Speaking of sociological things, parking in the city of Chicago.
I know, right? Anything that we can help out with there.
I read the story. There were so many times when I've come into the city and my wife, Sharon, said, do you have that app where you can pay on your phone? I'm like, yeah, I'm somewhere.
Yeah.
So I read the story. I downloaded both of these apps you write about.
Cool. So did you use it yet?
No. I just did it this morning.
Oh, you just downloaded them. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. You haven't used this one yet either. This just debuted on Monday. And this is from Chicago Parking Meters, which owns the city's parking meter franchise. So they run the parking meters in Chicago. They just launched this app, which allows you to find out how likely you are to get a spot. So, it allows you to have some planning. So if you're like going to Steppenwolf, you know, for a matinee show on a Saturday, you can look and see how likely am I to find a space space at a meter within 4 blocks of there.
So it's not a live thing where they know that there's 6 open or 4 open or whatever, but it's a trend thing, right?
Exactly.
They take 4 years
of
data.
You, yeah, it's telling you based on data, like what your chances are, and then hopefully that helps you decide, you know, based on the likelihood that you'll find a spot, it might help you decide how you're going to get someplace.
I'm sorry, I don't remember who wrote the story, but I like the way they put it at the end. You know, there's some, because I'm the person, it's like, oh, there's a spot, let's take it, even though it might be 3 blocks away. With this app, you can say, well, look, if you go 3 blocks further, chances are 82% that there'll be a parking meter there for you.
Yeah, so this was Mary Wisniewski wrote the story.
Oh, Mary,
who covers
okay.
transit. I'm sure you know Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's like, it, you could sort of see it, you know, it's a little bit of a sport, right? Like, do you... Do you gamble or do you do something else?
I went to the Black Ensemble Theater a couple of months ago and was looking to do a spot hero, and there's a meter right in front easily. So
yeah.
This would have been perfect for that. All right, I got about a minute left, 30 seconds. Let's talk about R. Kelly. Was the concert, there to be a concert tonight that was canceled? Or not canceled, there's one, anyway, they were protesting, but R. Kelly is being sort of B-listed on Spotify.
Yeah, so Spotify has come out with this new thing. They have like a new hate content policy. And a Chicago artist, R. Kelly, is the first one to kind of be caught up in it. You know, there's been this Mute R. Kelly campaign on Twitter. And he's, you know, Jim DeRogatis in Chicago has really led the reporting.
I was going to say, go back to DeRogatis. They've
some
been
of the allegations,
this forever.
Exactly, allegations about his behavior with women. So, you know, R. Kelly hit back, said these are unsubstantiated. But so far, he has been dropped from Spotify. So a little business ramification of some of these stories.
You can still listen to him on Spotify, but they're not going to put him on any playlists, or he's not going to come up on recommendations. So it's interesting that they didn't ban his music, but they stopped what they said promoting him.
Yep.
Andrea Haynes, thanks for coming by. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Steve. You too.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Coming up after the headlines in a bit, we'll talk to 3 of the actors at Jesus Christ Superstar at the Civic Opera House, a little bit about the business of acting and singing in Chicago. But right now, well, here's a guy who can sing, Adam Hochstein, the CEO of Stratix, joins us. Adam, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you. Don't want me singing, Steve.
No song from you?
No.
You know, well, here
thing.
We are. It's May 11th, so May 18th, May 20th. So just a couple of more Fridays, and then I'll be off on Fridays for summer because, well, we've got summer hours.
Yes, I bet it works well with your schedule.
Yeah, it's not true. I've never heard of such a thing. And here you say, you just told me that 40 to 50% of companies now have some sort of summer hour program.
Yeah. And it's growing trend. So the crazy thing is that, you know, it used to be, you know, casual Fridays, and then it went from, you know, now I'm casual every day,
right.
And now I can come in with ripped jeans, and I can come in with full facial hair, and then, okay, now let's give little summer hours on Fridays. Once Pandora's boxes open up, what's going to happen next?
All right, so say it again. When I was a kid...
I used to have to walk, you know, right. uphill both ways.
But it really is true when you think of casual Fridays. I remember that. And now people who dressed on Fridays casually then would be considered dressed up in the office today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, ripped jeans and T-shirts and open-toed shoes.
Are we worse off that we're more comfortable the way we dress at work?
I think that's okay. What I don't like is, you know, Woody Allen, the great philosopher, once said 80% of life is just showing up.
Right.
So I think that being at work and building that culture, you can't really do that when you're not together. So to me, I'm a big fan of, I'm old school, or
right.
just old.
No, you're old school. I get that. So summer hours, what we're talking about then are people working from home. You know, I used to interview a lot of authors for BarnesandNoble.com. I'd kind of forgotten about this part of it. And so I'd have to deal with publicists for the publishers all
uh-huh.
the time. And on summers, the publishing industry in New York takes Friday off.
It started in New York in the advertising and marketing
right.
and more like
so
PR.
If I had to schedule an author or anything like that, Fridays.
Can't do it on Fridays. I'm in the Hamptons on Friday. Don't mess with my Hamptons schedule.
So it did. It started there.
Yeah. And now it's, you know, now it's, and I'm not working half day Friday anymore because, you know, you only have 10 nice, well, this is, doesn't count.
Right.
But 10 nice Friday summers, you know, weekends a year. And now it's, I think it's going to be year round.
So, but when it's instituted, the workers certainly say, and probably the employers say, this is a way to help keep people happy, to give
yep.
them a little something.
And you got to keep up with the Joneses as well.
Is there not anything to that?
I definitely think there's something to that. But, you know, you're in business, if you're in a for-profit business, to be profitable, and you have to service your customers. So there's not a lot of positions where you cannot not be there, right?
Right, right. So we're talking about work from home on Fridays, or
yep.
There aren't industries like the publishing industry in New York. There aren't industries like that here that are just shut down altogether on Fridays.
No, we allow people now to pick a day of the week. You know, you have to be in good standing.
All right, listen closely, everybody. Go ahead.
Be in good standing with us at least a year. Work it out with your manager, and you can work from home a day a week.
During the summer.
Year-round.
All right, so there's Adam Ockstein speaking out forcefully against summer hours, explaining his summer hours program.
Exactly.
You do it.
Yeah.
What do you do, or what do you advise to other CEOs who are feeling the pressure to give in on something like this?
I think you meet with your senior, water cooler team of people and find out whether or not it's something that's going to impact morale in a positive way, and look at the whole asset and versus liability. Is it a strength for the company?
Right.
Is it a weakness? How does it work? We're going to be able to still service our customers, and then make a decision and communicate it. You know.
So do you have within StratX some workers who can and some who can't?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, so there's some workers who just can't. In a way, they get a lesser benefit package because of their job.
Yeah. I mean, so if I'm in a sales role, I would argue that it's not going to behoove me to make calls on a Friday afternoon. I'm not really getting in touch with anyone. So I can maybe understand why a salesperson or someone who's more client-facing proactively would be able to work, maybe 4.5-day work week in
right.
the summer hours. But if I am there to receive phone calls from a customer calling in, I got to be able to take the call, whether I'm doing that from home or from an office desk.
That's Adam Ockstein, the CEO of StratX. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Have a full-time summer.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
It's 12:37. We got White Sox Cubs baseball coming up in just a few minutes. But first, our number of the week. The number of the week this week, 4.6 billion. That's how much the 23 largest airlines reported in making profit from baggage fees last year. 4.6 billion. Now, altogether, the airlines made $15.5 billion in profit. So nearly a third of their profit last year came from your suitcase. In the studio today, I'm excited about this. We got three of the actors from Jesus Christ Superstar. Kevin Cornwall is here. Andrew, is it Mueller or Mueller?
Mueller.
Mueller, thank you. And Sean Fleming. Welcome to all of you.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Okay, so you guys are well into your run, right? The show wraps up May 20th?
Yes. That's correct, yeah.
And how's it going?
I'd say it's going quite well.
It's amazing.
Yeah?
Amazing.
Getting ready to talk to you, I looked at Chris Jones's review in the Tribune, and he talked about the staging of this show and about how the director is not trying to tie the songs together as much with them. I think he called it sort of fabrication, but rather it's presented almost like a rock album, song after song after song. He said that's the way it should be done. And I'm interested in what you guys think of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, total sense. If you don't mind,
I've got
a bit to say on this. Originally, the whole show, Andrew and Tim Rice conceived this show as a musical. It didn't actually make it as a musical because they didn't want to take the risk on these two young guys.
Uh-huh.
Then they got the opportunity to turn it into a concept album, which was their original idea. So they got together, put the concept album together, which is just fabulous, got a lot of big rock stars together, and did that. Now, it then went on to do a musical. Now, people fell in love with that musical. Whoever saw it in the 70s absolutely have an affinity with that musical.
Sure.
I grew up with the concept album. So all I had, we couldn't afford to go to the theater, and we never actually saw a production until I started going to college. So all I had was the vision of the concept album in my head, and I imagined all these great rock stars
doing
portraying this wonderful music, each music different to the next, but the thing that strung it together was the story, what the same words were linking up to the next song. And I truly believe that Tim, and I've had a few conversations, but not directly ask them, and I will ask them when I see them again. This, I believe, this particular show is exactly what they would perceive to be the show that they would want to have.
Because
it's about the music, not about the actual story. Now, that does have a bit of conflict because there are people that really want to know the story.
Well, that's what I'm reading, too, that it is about the music. And that is Kavin, who plays Caiaphas, the heavy, and he's the heavy in the stage, right?
Yeah.
Along with Herod, who is Sean Fleming.
Yes, sir.
So, Sean, you come to this from, you were a Disney kid, right?
Yeah, I was back when.
Right, and then you tour as well with music. Tell me about Diane Coffey.
This show, it's funny, at least my character in the show, it's in the same wheelhouse as what I bring to the stage with Diane Coffey. It's glam, soul, rock, which is very much this, this show. I kind of took to it like a duck to water, to be honest.
He does. Is that right? Fantastic.
And then also Andrew Mueller, who plays Peter, which is one of given this company, you're the good guy.
I'm the good guy. Yes.
Right. Tell me about, and I was asking you guys about this before we got started. You know, as a guy who goes and watches shows, I'm always a little surprised when musicians, rock stars or whomever, say that it's the audience that can really fuel it, that a good audience can make a performance and a bad audience not. Because as a guy sitting there, I feel like you guys are doing what you do night after night, that the audience doesn't have an impact. Tell me that it does. Who's going to tell me about that? Peter?
I would absolutely say it does. If anything, an audience in a live show is almost like, especially in a theatrical show, it's like the other character.
Yeah.
Do you think those of us sitting in the audience realize that?
I think there's a sort of communal, it's bigger than one person. It's what happens when all of those people get together to experience something together,
right.
Feed off of each other's energy, feed off of the actor's energy, the actors feed off of that energy, because you don't really want to be alone yelling in a box. That's not very satisfying for anyone. But to be able to sing this music with this group of people and this orchestra and this band, which is just phenomenal, and then have the people, you can tell these people, like, this is, yes, I love this album and this is what I wanted to
hear. Do you guys ever
leave
the stage a little ticked at the audience?
Not with this show. It's funny because I think that we just had this show where it was a bunch of school kids that came down. And I feel like children don't really have that sort of filter where they feel like they need to just kind of watch and be
right.
Quiet.
Mm-hmm.
They can really just experience it for what it is. And that was, I think, one of my favorite shows. And that audience was just full of energy. And it amped us up.
But like you said, it all depends on the type of show that you're doing at the time. This is a rock show.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So people are going to enjoy that sensation of being at a rock concert. So, for instance, the closer you are sat to the stage, you're going to get that rock sensation.
And probably some glitter on you.
And probably a lot of glitter.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the music. There's a rock band, but there's also the lyric singers, right? And the orchestra.
And the orchestra, yes. We have a six-piece rhythm section,
I think it's a little bit.
And then we have just an enormous orchestra on a platform behind us.
That's nice.
Yeah,
37.
It just gives the fullest sound. I think most people will not have heard this music played on this scale since possibly the album.
The concept album. Yeah.
I've done this show 5 times.
He knows.
And this is by far the biggest, and I would actually say probably the best. It gets better in my estimation as I've been fortunate to do the show.
The show is in town through May 20th.
Till May 20th.
Right?
Yeah. And you're never going to see the show done like this ever again.
I got to say, you three are talking about people trying to, you sound like three guys trying to sell tickets, but I don't believe that because we were talking off the air and there's just a real genuineness in the fact that this seems to be a pretty special performance. I appreciate you joining us, Kavin Cornwell, Andrew Mueller. You're a local guy, right?
I am, yeah. I'm from Evanston originally.
And Sean Fleming as well. Thanks very much. Continued success. I hope to see it soon.
Great.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here we are running out of time on this Friday afternoon. We've got White Sox baseball coming up right after this.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. Making the next big business idea happens fairly often these days, but fine-tuning and perfecting that idea is the tough part. Groupon is still doing everything it can to make its service better, and they're doing it with their recent release of Groupon Plus that allows for cashback benefits and creates much more personalized deals based on customers' locations. Any business owner today will tell you that you can never stop innovating and making your work better. Otherwise, someone's going to swoop in and take your share. Or you could do what one Chicago startup is doing and do something so unique that there's little to no other room for other companies. And that's where Unicreamer comes in. They're creating a high-end coffee creamer pumped with protein, and it's vegan approved. It dips into the market of various diet trends today, but revolves around the idea of healthful products that are lifestyle approved, which is a big deal to consumers these days. You know, there's a business for everything. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.